Ardell.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Melissa are here to give us the garden conversation.
Good morning, and it's a fall morning out there today.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's beautiful, but boy, you can tell that fall is set in.
Definitely, yeah. The colors are changing. Good time to collect those extra leaves and put them in your compost bin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good idea.
That's my task this next week. I vacuum up leaves and shred them and get a whole year's supply in the next couple weeks. It's one of my big fall tasks. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. We have a question that came in this time about, let me tell you, I'll read it to you. My garden got away from me this summer. Fancy that. Mm-hmm. How worthwhile is it to weed out things like clover and hawkweed this time of year versus waiting until spring? And then also added on to that, has anyone had success in dealing with hawkweed without using herbicides?
Okay, good question. And we do try to keep people away from herbicides because the herbicides kill all kinds of plants, including beneficial plants, and they're also harmful to a lot of the amphibians and to humans and to the waterways and so on. So we are always looking for non-toxic answers to things. So in terms of hawkweed and all of the other kinds of weeds that you might have, like clover, chickweed, grasses, the beech grasses, all kinds of things like that, it's a really good idea. Try to pull them, and particularly if they've gone to seed, which many of them had by now. So get those out of your garden before the seeds spread.
Otherwise, you're basically just planting weeds.
That's right. That's right.
You don't want to do that.
No, you don't.
May not be your goal. Right. So it's easier to pull them now in the fall than it is in the spring, kind of depending on your energy level and whatever else is going on and whether or not your arm's in a sling, maybe.
exactly.
As Mardell's is. Very important, do not put any weeds that have gone to seed or that have seed pods in them in your compost bin. Because if you do, you will be spreading the weeds. And also that's true for any weeds that have runners. Because those runners, like Equisetum, the horsetail, for instance.
Oh, my goodness.
Any little piece of horsetail.
They like compost piles.
Oh, yeah. And you just, all you're doing is, you know, putting them on steroids for when you plant them next spring when you spread your compost.
It's true.
So hawkweed here is an invasive species. You don't want it in your garden. It has allopathic characteristics, which means that its leaves and its roots will kill other plants. And it has runners that spread. It will basically crowd out other kinds of plants. So we've talked to some different people who've had experience with this. One method to use is to pull the weeds. That's what I do, just manually pull them, but I don't have that much area that I'm gardening. You can use a weed mat, and there's a variety of different things that you can do there where you're basically just covering the weeds up. You're starving them of light, in a sense, and that can work pretty well. And you can use commercial weed mats, you can use old carpeting, you can use fabric, you can use cardboard.
Probably would not work so well in a raised bed where you're going to want to plant that same year either. So.
Right, yeah, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a good place to do that. But it is good along edges of driveways and edge pathways.
Which
and that
invasive
sort of thing.
Weeds, like hawkweed, love that. Invasive weeds like disturbed areas. And so they love lawns and sides of roads and stuff like that. So covering them up is a great technique for that.
Yeah. And actually, I do that with all of my pathways between my raised beds.
Right.
I put down either natural fabric or cardboard to block the weeds, and then I cover it with straw or sawdust or something like that. And that works out really well for blocking weeds. Another alternative is to create a little spray of salt and vinegar. The recipe that one person shared with us is to use 2 quarts of the 5% white distilled vinegar, 2 cups of salt, and 4 drops of dish soap. Put it into a spray bottle and spray it. And it seems to work if you spray this A couple of things to think about there. When the plants are warm, they tend to be metabolizing faster, mm-hmm. and so they'll take up what's essentially for them a poison faster. Mm-hmm. And if you prune them and then spray right on where the pruning cut is, that also can work pretty well.
It's a double whammy to the weeds. Yeah. This technique has been used evidently on our school property with good success with hawkweed, that they've actually gone and sprayed with this spray mixture. And in case you want it, well, you can always look at the archives of this show to get that recipe, but you can also go to the Tokchinook Watershed website, and this recipe is also on there.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, so that's important. The weeds that you pull, what are you going to do with them if you don't put them in your compost bin? And again, you don't want to put them in the compost bin. We recommend against burning them, because when you burn them, the seed pods can pop and the little seeds will go flying everywhere. Again, not what you want. So I've had success with that, with putting them into a black garbage bag and then letting them just solarize into a slimy mess over the next
doesn't
year.
Doesn't smell very good either, does it?
No, put it downwind of your house.
But maybe. You're pretty sure those seeds are dead, though.
Yes, yes. So you just put it all into a black plastic bag and stash it somewhere. And then next summer when we have sun back, just put it out in the sun and let it solarize, and it will cook down, and then it will be fine. So it's really important to try and do our best to keep all of these invasive species down in our garden.
And another one that is a problem in this town that this spray evidently works on is thistle as well. And so basically all the things we've said about hawkweed is pretty much the same as thistle, for thistle. And that's another one to watch. We don't have it out the road yet, and I'm doing my best to keep it here in town.
Thank you, Mardell. We certainly appreciate it. And then there's other kinds of weeds, too, that we may address at another time. Yeah. So anybody who's got ideas on controlling some of the others, send your questions and your ideas to us at KHNS. Garden@khns.org. Okay, so that's enough on weeds and herbicides. A lot of us are now harvesting our carrots.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one question: what causes carrots to split down the side? Some are in the ground and they split, but sometimes when people pull the carrot out of the ground, then it sort of splits right then and there. So what's causing that, and what can we do about it?
So I thought I knew the answer to this, but I needed to confirm it to make sure that I was telling people the right thing. And so it led me down a whole path of, I've learned more about carrots than I ever thought that I could learn about carrots. And I'm kind of a trivia person. I don't remember trivia, but I find it interesting. So let me share this little piece of trivia I found. The longest carrot that's ever been grown, the world's record, is 20 foot 6 inches long. Actually, 5.9 inches long.
Wow.
The heaviest carrot, that was in the UK, the heaviest carrot is 20.2 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And that record was held here in Alaska until just like a year or two. Now it's gone over to the UK. But that was up in, I don't know, somewhere in the Matanuska Valley was where that record was. But anyway, that's not answering the question, but I just thought that was interesting. So moisture is what is splitting those carrots. And carrots, when we get drenching rain, especially after it's been dry a little while, and then we get a big downpour of rain, which happens all the time here. We can't control it.
Especially in the fall.
Especially in the fall.
Right,
that's
before
right.
harvest.
And so what happens is that the carrot absorbs all of that moisture, and it grows because of the moisture, and its skin can't contain that. And so it literally bursts. And so the ones that you get in the ground, that has happened earlier in the season, the ones that are already cracked, and we've all pulled those out of the ground, you get this big old crack, and it looks like it happened weeks ago. But I've also had this happen with both potatoes and carrots, where you literally take them out of the ground, and they go poof. And that is because that carrot or potato is so full of moisture and it's just trying to grow, and you take the support of the earth around it and it no longer has any, the skin can't support it, and it pops and cracks. I use those first. I try not to store them, although I have had some potatoes and carrots that I have stored that are cracked, and I've eaten those clear until June. But be careful.
Is that if the crack has healed up?
The crack heals for the most part. Yeah. But what I usually try to do is I just try to pull those out, and I use those first. I'll bring those into the house and not use them for storage is basically what I do. One thing that you can do to help alleviate this problem, you're not going to solve it completely, but organic matter in the soil is going to help retain the moisture and make it even. So that's one thing, another good reason to constantly be adding compost and any organic seaweed, any organic matter you can add. It's not only doing nutrition. In fact, more than nutrition, what it's doing is it's creating a soil texture that helps retain moisture and helps in all sorts of things like that. So we probably all had misshapen carrots, too. They're interesting conversation pieces.
Yes, they are.
I know. I just pulled one out of the ground the other day, and I thought, wow, I should take a picture of this. So what causes this? Couple things. Crowding. If you're like me, you plant your carrots really thick together, and then you need to thin them out. And I've had many people say that that's their most hated gardening job, is thinning carrots.
It's so sad.
I like it.
Oh, that's so sad because you're throwing away these carrots unless you use the little bitty ones.
So this is what I do because mm-hmm. I'm not good at throwing away any plant.
Right, right.
Is I let my carrots get big enough so that when I pull them out, I'm actually pulling out a carrot. And I have found that works fine. It's just that you have to be diligent and make sure that you get them out of there when the carrots start to grow because they expand widthwise. And so you've just got to make sure you get them out of there and let the carrot that you're leaving in the ground room to expand. Mm-hmm. And so I have carrots. I actually start pulling my carrots for the thinnings in July, in early July, something like that. So let's see.
And that's staying on that topic for a second. The thinnings are really good in salad. You can eat both the sort of little thready thing that will become a carrot of the root. And also the tops are good, mm-hmm. just chopped up in a salad.
Highly nutritious. The greens, they're highly nutritious.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Okay.
If you're a person who likes the taste of bitterness, some people like bitter, like endive and that sort of thing. I personally don't, so I've tried using carrot tops. I don't like them much. Highly nutritious, though.
Yeah, just when they're really little, mm-hmm. at the thinning stage is when I've used the carrot tops. Mm-hmm. And
you've liked them.
I haven't noticed the bitterness mm-hmm. when they're really little. Mm-hmm. Another trick I learned when I was teaching permaculture classes that some people do is to keep from planting the carrots too thickly, they will, when they get ready to plant, they'll roll out a whole roll of toilet paper, put some flour and water, make a paste, kind of a glue, mm-hmm. and then they will put the seeds meticulously spaced on the toilet paper. And then they just, when they get ready to plant, they just put that whole toilet paper with the seeds and the flour, water, glue down, put a little bit of soil over top, mm-hmm. and they don't get the crowding issue.
Vivian Menaker planted her carrots like that for many, many years. And so I tried it without much success. But other people here I know do it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I was doing wrong. So... sweetness of carrots. Have you ever had people come up and visit you and say, oh my goodness, the carrots up here are so sweet? And the reason for that is because we live in an ideal climate in the fall for carrots. When they get their sweetest is when we have warm days and cool nights. And so if you pull your carrots earlier in the season, they're not going to be nearly as sweet. It's later on in the maturation process of carrots that they actually put their sweetness, or they turn their starches into sugars and become sweeter. So we got 1 minute. Let me say a little bit more about carrots. Another question was, why do my carrots have roots all over them? Why are they hairy? Well, my guess it's because you may have fertilized right before you planted your carrots. Carrots become hairy for two reasons. When they have too much fertilizer, if you put some manure in with them when you planted, or they can be moisture laden if they get the soil is waterlogged. So if you're going to use manure or a highly nutritious fertilizer like that, do it in the fall and then plant your carrots in the spring. So, and I have a few more other things about carrots, but we're out of time today, so we're going to have to keep it for next week.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank
okay,
you so much
thank
for
you.
All
thank
of you, your Joni. Wonderful information.
And again, garden@khns.org for questions, mm-hmm. comments, ideas, and so on. And we're going to be actually working on doing some planning for the winter.
That's right. This is the time to get your questions in because we're going to be doing a whole batch of questions. So yeah. get them in.
Good idea.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Go out and enjoy this beautiful day. Holy moly. We are so lucky up here.